Okay, welcome back. Episode number 53. Everyone's got their beers. Got your beer. Got your second beer. Tonight's a bit of a special one because we don't have Mike. Mike is busy with work-related stuff. Instead, I have with me two guest presenters and one special guest. So there's four of us here. Well, you know Alex Bell.
Hello.
Alex,
hello, hello.
You've heard from Alex recently a couple of times. You've been on talking about technique, and that was probably, what, 3, 4, 5 weeks ago? So.
Yeah, 3, 4, 5, and then maybe earlier in the year.
Yeah, we're in, a couple of times.
Linux Head.
Yeah, so Alex is my workmate who I spend all my days with fixing stupid runners who break themselves. We also have Danielle.
Hi.
You can say hi.
What's up, guys?
Danielle is with us all the way from Portland, Maine. Mm-hmm. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
From America. Danielle's a running specialist physio, and she is here for 2 months, right?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Why are you here?
To hang with you legends. Come on.
Sweet. Yeah, she got it. So Danielle's spending a bit of time with Alex and I, like in and around the clinic, sort of like we're feeding off each other and learning from each other and sharing pearls of wisdom and just frothing each other's work. So Danielle has a pretty good insight into running. You're a triathlete. You run. You've done like 7 marathons.
Yes.
Yeah. Planning to do, I think you just decided today.
I might be doing my 8th here.
Yeah. You just decided? Yeah.
Yeah. I might be upgrading or am upgrading the Blackmore's half marathon to a marathon.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Cool. For number 8. So Danielle's here. We'll probably hear from Danielle quite a bit over the next couple of months. We're going to hopefully chew her ear off a little bit about some running stuff too. And Lauren. So we've got Lauren is our special guest for tonight.
Hey, guys.
Loz. Loz. Why are you on here? Talk to me.
Well, I guess we were talking a while ago, and we were talking about your training and how you were going with your UTMB and distances, and I think you'd done one of your long runs, and we were just saying, oh, like, I know what that's like. Not at all at the scale, but... Yeah, and then how to, you know, juggle that nutrition and yeah.
So the answer I was fishing for is because Loz just did comrades.
Yeah. Yeah.
You trained like pretty freaking hard for like months and months and months, and you were so committed and involved, but like
dedicated.
And outwardly, it seems like you were nailing it, and we want to hear more about that. So what's Comrades, right? Tell us about Comrades.
Comrades is it's an ultra marathon. It's a road race. It's from one town to another, so from Durban to Pietermaritzburg, which is an up run in South Africa. Africa.
If you couldn't hear from her accent.
In South Africa, maybe a few more beers and we'll be clear. And then... So that's 1 year, it's an up run, and then the second year it's a down run. It's from Pietermaritzburg to Durban. One, and it's practically all the way uphill, and the other one it's all the way downhill, and going from sea level to sort of towards mountains, and then...
So it rotates each year?
Rotates each year. Next year is an up run, and then because it's the 100th year, they're going to keep it as a down run again.
100th year.
Yeah, the centenary.
Does that make it like the longest running race? Like,
it's the oldest ultra marathon or road race, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So, it's packed with people, and the main thing, it's called Comrades because of the camaraderie that it stems from, and I think that is what it is. So that's what it's about.
Yeah. So Comrades. Sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, touch on. I think one thing with you, Loz, is that you're going to be hugely modest about your training and your loads and what you kind of put your body through, because that's just the kind of person you are. But
so Alex was Lauren's physio, kind of helping her out throughout this journey.
Yeah, leading up to things.
So Alex knows.
Yeah, and
Alex
so
knows everything.
I think it's one of your better traits, to be honest, is your modesty, that, you know, you kind of roll with the punches a little bit, but don't kind of, oh, yeah, I'm going okay, but don't probably give yourself enough credit. I think, you know, your training was really, really something that I certainly, you know, admire. And also, like, touch on maybe why you wanted to do Comrades, because I think, you know, there's a bit of a family history there for you.
And... Yeah, it definitely is, and I think that's been the hardest thing with the training in Australia for a race that's in South Africa. So I was born, I grew up in South Africa. I was born in Durban where the race started, and yeah. I did a lot of my growing up as a teenager in Pietermaritzburg.
Yeah.
So I it's that sort of start to finish before I immigrated to Australia. Yeah. So there's that. My dad ran it 10 years in a row.
Wow.
Which is phenomenal. So I grew up and that's all I knew.
Yeah.
And the race itself in South Africa, growing up in South Africa in the 90s, there was sanctions, so we didn't have, you know, access to live music concerts. There wasn't much on TV in the terms of, you know, come from an English-speaking background, and Monday night was English TV, so you watched Friends on a Monday night, and then anything else that was on TV, Elf, Star Trek, it was all in a different language.
Yeah.
So there wasn't much going on, but there was the rugby, so there was the Curry Cup, you know, rugby union,
yeah,
and Miss World and Miss Universe and the Comrades. So those were the three things that I had growing up as a teenager, and it was just, that was my life, and everyone in South Africa that just lived and breathed. And I guess when I was in South Africa as well, there was the change of government. And I think Nelson Mandela really put it there that sport is what unites a country.
Yeah.
And I think, and it unites the people, it doesn't matter where you come from. And, you know, I've always believed that. And there was the rugby final where the Springboks won, and you got to see that. But going back and actually experiencing that is something just tremendous, I guess.
Going back and
experiencing just, I mean, you know, there's multiple stories about, you know, it's just everyone from, you know, every culture, every race at the start, and you're jam-packed.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have a cock crow, and they have, you sing the national anthem, and the national anthem itself is in, I think, four different languages.
Yeah.
And everyone knows it. And I was just in absolute tears.
Right.
And there was a beautiful gentleman next to me, and he gave me a proper hug. And you know when someone gives you a proper hug? I think he was wiping away my tears.
Yeah.
And when I was in South Africa growing up as a girl, him doing that, and our, you know, just our skin difference, you would never do that.
Yeah.
But just, it's not there. There's not that divide anymore.
Yeah.
And it was just so special. So then they have you sing the national anthem, and then they sing a song called Shoshalos, which is in Zulu, and it's this, you know, working song, and then there's a cock crow, and then a cannon goes off.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you just go, and it's dead silence.
Then you run 90 kilometres.
Yeah. Uphill.
90 kilometres uphill.
Uphill, yep.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing, though. Like, you know, a real race that kind of transcends running, I suppose.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's more than
it
that, right?
You
know, it's a cultural kind of, you know, coming together of the whole country.
And it's, and Comrades isn't a company that's out there to make money off race.
No.
Yeah. Like, they've been around for 99 years. Yeah. It's a tradition. Yeah.
It's been going on for so long. And I think as well, what I really got out of it, because I'd done so much training. I was doing a lot of running, a lot of swimming. I was doing, you know, work, because it's, you know, you've got to work to be able to do the training that you can do and the lifestyle. And I thought, great, I've got 90 Ks to, like, have some time with Lauren and, like, sort life's business out.
Yeah.
There was not a moment to myself the entire race. It was phenomenal. There were just people there the whole time and clapping and cheering. And, you know, people were going, Lauren, go, Lauren, go. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, how do you know? And then you realize you've got your name on. And then they go, go Striders, because I'm a member of the Sydney Striders. And so that was on my shirt. And, you know, it was...
So support along the whole route.
The entire route. Wow. There were people clapping and cheering, which was just, it was phenomenal. And it was such... And I think that's where, you know, communities get behind big races like that. Mm-hmm. I was at the Gold Coast. I ran the half the other week. And it was 21Ks. And, you know, the weather was a bit so-so.
Yeah.
And there were just people standing there. And no one was clapping. And I was like, what have you come out for? You know, you're just standing
there watching.
Why are you standing? I was like, come on, go team.
Yeah.
So, and that's where, you know, the name Comrades and camaraderie, that's what it is. You know, when you're running a long distance, and you're in like a pack and you, they're definitely people that you're sort of pacing with and you're backwards and forwards
yeah.
with, especially going up hills. You know, you're chatting with each other and you sort of get to know people. And
oh, the bonds you would form over what 9, 10, 11 hour run, you kind of make friends over that distance.
Well, absolutely. Well, there was a chap at one point, I think there was, we'd just gone over 50 Ks. And it was a hill called Inchong, which is particularly steep. And I'd mentally prepared for this.
Yeah.
And I was like, really looking forward to it. And we were getting to the top. And I was like, gee, I really feel like a beer right now. And I said it out loud. And there were all these guys around me, because they're mainly men that run the race.
Yeah.
Anyway, we all had a laugh. Anyway, there was a point in the race where I was very ill. And he toddled upon past me. And he's like, so how are you feeling about that that beer? And I was like, oh, my God. I wouldn't mind now.
Yeah. So when Lauren says she was a bit ill, you were throwing up the whole way, weren't you?
I got to a point. So funny about that, you know, when we were chatting about, you know, long distance running, I think nutrition – as nutrition, you have to train with as much as you train your mind, as much as you train your body.
Yeah.
And so I did. I spent a significant time of my training with nutrition. So practicing, you know, with your gels, I think, is the first thing, because, you know, you've got to get that sugar, carbohydrate, electrolyte point really well, and also the things that you enjoy eating.
Yeah,
and then
because you're out there for a long
for a long time, and you need something.
And then if it's something you don't like, it's not going to go down easy.
Yeah.
It's not, and there's some, you know, funky flavors out there. So it's also trying to find that, you know, that it's like a little treat.
Yeah,
here's a little treat. But the thing was also, you know, being in a different country, you know, how do you replicate, you know, the biscuits and the crackers that you're going to have here? So I. The things I can replicate are Coca-Cola, because that's universal, and potatoes. And I know I'm a big fan of Camille Herron.
Camille Herron.
From the States. She's an ultra. She's a US.
Didn't she just?
Long hair. I think she.
Did she just break a record, or did I just make that up?
I think she did last year. She broke the 100, the Western States. Amazing lady. And
we like Camille.
I'm a big fan of Camille. And her thing has always been potatoes. And I mean, potatoes are such a good carbohydrate, all that kind of thing.
Easy to break down.
And I was like, okay, I can do potatoes. I know, I had a look at the race list, and it was the one year that they didn't have bar ones, which are the equivalent of Mars bars.
Yeah.
So it's okay, I'll just take Mars bars. So I trained with, and I, in my long runs, you know, my 60, 70K runs, because it's hard to coordinate, and it's just myself who's been doing this. So, you know, logistically coordinating food drops. So I'd stop in at friends' houses and when they've mailboxes.
That's great.
And in like 2 hours, I'd go and have, you know, at Catherine and Andrew's, I'd have a Coke and some potatoes. And then I'd go and visit Roseanne, and she'd also have cake and potatoes. Then she'd give me like a bottle of water and a little, you know, a card.
That's
and
fantastic.
Then it was so good. And then I'd also practice with dates, because dates is a good natural sugar.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's like, yep, totally, I got my nutrition down pat. But
I was going to say one thing that I really liked about your whole approach to training for this big race is you really got involved in and lent on the running community as well. And like, we've talked about the running community a few times, but like, you've been doing your ocean swimming training with the local group down at Bondi. You've been doing your running with the Sydney Striders. I saw you running out a whole number of times. You've been here every time Alex and the guys here have run a strength session. You were here at the strength session. Like, you've kind of really gotten involved in the whole community.
Yeah.
And like, to
important.
Use that and be like, hey, I'm going to put Mars bars in your letterbox. Don't take them.
Do you mind? You don't need to be home. And it is. And I think, and again, it's just one of those things when I look back, because there are lots of things about this race. And I look back, and it's the motto for this year's race was, and I'm going to have to try and say it slowly, is Sizing Korba. Oh, I didn't get the click right. Sizing Korba.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow.
Do that one more time.
Sizing Korba.
Wow.
Patty, have a go at that.
No.
Yeah, have a go at that. And that in Zulu translates two together, we're better.
Yeah, right.
And so, and I really was like, and I was, it was just so humbling to have the people that I've been meeting along the way with swimming and running, you know, who just offered to, yeah, totally come and, you know, come to the toilet if you need to, or yeah, we'll be there, or, you know, I'd have, you know, 60Ks is a long time.
Yeah.
Paddy, you would know, just to go running. And I mean, you've got a few mates that you've been training with for your run, whereas this was just
you're
me.
You were doing it solo.
I was doing it solo, and so it was so fantastic. I had friends who go, yeah, I'll meet you for 10Ks. I'll meet you for 20Ks.
Yeah.
And then one friend is like, yeah, I'll come for 10Ks. And then he ended up being there for like 24Ks. He's like, yeah, I run my longest race. And I'm like, good for you, buddy. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to keep on going over
here. It's so good. It's so good to be like connected within the community. And
it
to like, you know, when you need something from the running community, they're there to do that. And like, you for my training, you've been the one who's like offered to me, like, Paddy, if you want to do a long run, I'll meet you halfway with cake.
Like
you've said that to me, and so it's like you're kind of giving your take. And it's so good to see you like interacting with the running community like that. That's like, I love that, instead of just being like polite and being like, oh, I won't bother people. It's like, can you do this for me? I need your letterbox from
Asgard. And it's so hard, because that's something I really struggle with personally, is asking for help.
Yeah.
But it's like, and then again, I'm like, just, you know, get everyone involved and like, but then, you know, it's that idea of you have to give back. And I think that's so important, you know, is giving back to, you know, community. So, you know, I came back and I had some time where I wasn't running. So, you know, it's going to the local park run and going, yep, I'll do marshalling.
Yeah.
And, and don't even, you know, just whatever, I don't mind, because it's important.
Yeah.
And I mean, everyone at some stage needs a hand with something.
Yeah.
But I think anyone who, again, you'll probably be modest with this, but I think, I mean, we've known each other, you know, over probably the last 6 months, and I probably would say that I don't really consider you as a patient. Like, I think you're a true friend of mine, and like, yeah, I think anyone who knows you would feel the same way. Like, you truly are about giving back and being part of the community, and, you know, probably your kindness is something that I really, you know, admire again. Like, I think, you know, credit to you.
Thanks, Alex.
Yeah.
No, I love coming in and seeing you guys. And, you know, and it's, I think having someone of your expertise, you know, in the technology has just been phenomenal. And it is. It was at one point I was running on the hills and my knees were my left knee, and it had always been my right knee. Suddenly my left knee.
Like, it happens on race day, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. All the niggles pop up.
I was like, I've never had a left knee issue. It's like, that's okay. Just slow it down. What did Alex say? And it is. But and that's it. Going back to, you know, the, you know, your training for your nutrition, I got to 50Ks, and I knew at 50Ks I'd set myself, because every time I'd run a race, I'd call my dad at some point and just have like just a bit of a check-in and you know, just say hi, and I was feeling so good, and I was like, okay, I've got to get to 50Ks and then I'll allow myself to call him.
Yeah,
I gave him a call and that was fine. And then for some reason, about 5Ks afterwards, I just couldn't eat and I couldn't drink. And I didn't.
Were you feeling good up until that point?
I was feeling amazing. Like, between 20 and 60Ks is the best running I think I have ever felt. Like, I was just, I was loving it. It was that perfect winter sort of temperature. The sun was out, that sort of thing. It was. Yeah, it was really great. But, yeah, something happened, and I don't know what it was. My coach said I'd gone out too fast. Who knows? Because I didn't even end up starting with my seating group, because I'd had to wait for an hour to go to the toilet, which was well worth it. It was well worth it missing my seating group. Like, I was near the back by the time I started, which was fine, because you can sort of make it up. But it's gun to gun. It's not... when you hit the mat.
So Comrades has quite a famous cutoff, right?
Yeah.
It used to be 11 hours, now it's 12.
Yes.
Just side note, if anyone's ever kind of bored and you're like, how can I kill 20 minutes of time? Go on YouTube, Comrades 12-hour cutoff, and just type that in and thank me later.
Yeah. It is. And
it's heartbreaking and fucking hilarious at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's the fun. And this is, I was catching up with my dad after the race, and I went up and saw him, and he's got all his medals, you know, framed, looking, they're amazing. And I was showing him my medal, and he's like, oh, you know, and he's like, oh. I was like, yep, no, you don't have this one. Because he only ever, I think his slowest run was like 9.5 hours.
Oh, wow.
And my goal was 8.5 hours.
Yeah.
And then I moved it up to 9 hours 45 because it's like, that's okay. And at one point in the race, it's like, oh, my gosh, I am like, this is amazing. I'm going to get there. It's going to be great. Anyway.
So what happened?
We had a laugh because they showed him my medal and it's copper. And it's like, I saw these people. I was like, I looked at my medal and I looked at everyone else's. And I'm like, I've never seen one of these before. We don't have one of these at home. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
It was, yep. And then I was like, okay. Yeah, so I did it in 11.25 hours. 11 hours, 16 minutes.
Yeah.
So the funny story in it is at home is that my dad's never experienced this. So I was trying to explain it to him. And then I was explaining that at about 10, so I was feeling sick after 50 Ks and I couldn't eat anything, couldn't drink anything. The most I could have was Coke. And then I got, and it was hot and I was like, I've got to get something in me. So I was just ice. Now, this is like at say 11 o'clock, any like from 11 o'clock until 5 o'clock in the day, ice. In ice boxes, in people's Eskies, and in South Africa they call them cool boxes, and they were having barbecues along the side, so they've got, and so, or braais, and so it was like just ice, and I'd be running past people with, and I'd be looking for people having, you know, these barbecues, and, do you have ice? Do you have ice? Like they do.
So as in, yeah. As in you couldn't drink
water? I couldn't drink, I couldn't take anything.
Couldn't drink water, but you could
I,
have ice.
I could have ice, I was chewing on ice.
Wow.
And at some point, and then I was like, oh, man. And I knew I had the last hill, Polly Shorts, to go up, which is just before 10Ks to go.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've got to get something in me. So I was like, oh, let me just try one of the cues. Now, I have never, like, I was well packed. I packed
all your gels.
All my gels, everything. Yeah. And it was all broken up into, like, these different time zones, all these different times. Yeah. And I had this great crew. I'll get back to my crew. But anyway. So I was like, I'm just going to try and have a, like one of the cliff cubes.
The cliff,
like,
yeah.
You know, the little cliff box. Great. Yeah. And normally I'd be like, they were on my other half hour. You're like, I had everything timed out.
Yeah.
Went have a bite and I was running down a hill. And then there was a road sign and I just stood on the road sign.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is appropriate for this context, but if you've ever wanted to, like, in the movies, you know when if, you know someone's had like on a roller coaster, or they've had a wild night out and they are projectiling. It was long and straight. It didn't even hit my shoes. And it was full. I said, and it was like, and I was the funniest thing. I was feeling so, but all I could think of is I just want to record this because this was just hilarious.
That's good.
And I felt fine afterwards.
So that was you tried to eat a cliff
block? I tried. Yeah, I literally had bitten into it.
Yeah.
And I just, everything.
So how far through the 90K is this?
So this was with about 15Ks to go.
Yeah. Oh, my
God. But so I'd stopped eating after about and drinking from 55Ks.
Yeah.
Wow.
So in the heat. And then, of course, my time went.
Yeah.
Now, it was 45. And it was just the same. And actually, that was just before I got sick.
Yeah.
Because, and though, the one thing was I got to Polly Shorts, which is the notorious last hill. And I got to the top of Polly Shorts at 9 hours 59.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, yes, I've beaten 10 hours.
I remember probably the best thing about, I think, that race for me was, like, there was this WhatsApp group that I was in on that was, I was like, oh, how do I track this? And Loz had like sent kind of a link. But then there was this WhatsApp group with all these people in it. And then there was all these people like I didn't know. And there was people who were over there. And it literally became this live feed of like spotted Loz at, you know, this kilometer and taking a photo of her and then spotted her at this. And then, you know, it just kept going and going. And it was probably pretty late at night. I think it was probably, I can't remember what time it was. But I remember I remember tracking it, just getting these live feeds. And I'm like, this is amazing. It was like you were literally there. Yeah. And then I remember when you must have just got sick. And they're kind of like, she's slowing down or something like that, you know, like that she's sick. And but that was amazing, that WhatsApp group.
It was
incredible. So much support from like back in Oz and over there. It was fantastic.
It was bizarre because, and it's I had these people who had invested themselves into me. And I was like, how do I, you know, and then everyone was saying, you know, how do we track it and whatever. And I was like, and my mum and dad organized this party with their friends. So they had all these friends over and they were having a party. I had friends here in Sydney having a party.
Gee, no pressure.
There was no pressure. And this was the whole thing because I was like, great. 9 hours 45. Everyone in Australia, it'll be a great normal time. They'll be able to go to bed. Yeah. It's a public holiday, but, you know, they can have a few drinks, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, it was like
a couple of hours longer.
Significantly longer, and it was, and again too, where I was staying with my grandmother for this before the race, and she lives in this retirement village, and all these old men would come up to me, and they were like, "When I ran Comrades," so everyone, so I got back down from Peter Maritzburg to Durban that night, and there was this bunch of older ladies and gentlemen having a party for me. It was great.
That's so good.
And they were part of the WhatsApp group. And it was that one thing,
yeah,
you know, that you go, you know, you wanted people to be involved and how do you connect it? And that's where technology is just...
That's so good.
Fantastic. So, but, yeah.
I did the 100-mile race that I've completed. I took about 6 or 8 hours longer than I thought. And I just felt bad for the people who were there crewing me.
Mm.
So, like, you worry about keeping people up for 2 hours longer.
Yeah.
So no, there's been worse.
And that's it. I mean, I think, and it's your crew. You know, I had these friends that I grew up with. They live behind us. And our dads used to run together.
Yeah.
And they ran this race together. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be in South Africa. I'm going to be doing this race. And I knew Darren, my one friend, he'd done it twice, but he'd only ever done a downhill.
Yeah.
And I was like... And they've got two little girls, and they, you know, the brothers just had a little baby, and I was like, oh, this is a huge dream. And I was like, hey guys, coming to Run Comrades, if you're around, let's catch up for dinner.
Yeah.
And he literally replied back, and he was fantastic. He's like, I'm going to second you, and don't worry about anything. And it was just
that's so good.
It was just so special and amazing. And these guys were there literally first 20Ks, and then every 10Ks they were there. And there was a point at about I think it was just like 9 and a quarter hours of feeling pretty rubbish. And they were like, come on, Lauren, you're doing amazingly. And I'm like thinking, I'm like literally stepping one foot at a time. And it was just such phenomenal support.
Makes a difference, right? Like you're feeling you're like absolute shit 9 hours into a run. And someone's like, come on, you can do it. And like it seems really bad as a spectator, as a crew member or whatever. It seems really basic. Come on, you can do it. But like, man, doesn't that help? Like
I did. It was phenomenal. And they were just there and smiling. And when I look back retrospectively, I think, I wish you'd told me like to pull my finger out and run faster because maybe something would have happened.
Toughen up.
Like, toughen up, sunshine. Like, where was someone with the heart?
Hey, Lauren, stop vomiting.
At the bottom of that hill, I caught up with some friends and they had this, their thing was like dressing up with brides and, you know, some charity thing. The wedding had been over and they were still, she said, we would have had a number of drinks by then.
Yeah.
This gorgeous couple, bless them, they still had their gin and tonics waiting for me there. Oh. And I was like, no, sorry.
Yeah.
No.
I cannot.
Can't get down water.
Yeah.
The G&T might not go so well.
It might have, in hindsight, it might have. But,
maybe that's what you needed.
I know. Do you know what? There are a few things that I keep thinking about. And I've tried to let them go and like put them. I was thinking about it yesterday. I was like, okay, maybe I should move. Well, you know, you've got to let these
You're
going to
have to go back and do the race again and try.
Well, I was just going to ask that. Are you going to do it again?
I don't know. I'd love to because I'm like, but it's the training.
Yeah.
The training is hard to do by yourself. And it's the hills. There are no hills here.
Yeah.
The hills here, they call... Over there, they're like just slight rises.
Slight rises.
There's slight rises in the road. Yeah. You literally walk out the front door and there is like a 2K...
Yeah.
You know, Heartbreak Hill for City to Surf is... What is it? 700 metres?
It's nearly a kilometre, I think.
Nearly a kilometre. So you think of that just all the way.
Just continuous.
Continuous. It was actually really cool. So I flew in on this Saturday.
Yeah. And Danielle's off. Bye, Danielle.
Bye, guys. Danielle.
Thanks. See you next time.
I'll see you Sunday.
Sunday, yes.
Awesome. Bye, guys.
See you.
Bye.
So I flew in on this Saturday. The Sunday morning, they have something in Durban called the Chelsea Bun Run. A Chelsea bun is like a, and they're not big really in Australia, but it's like this roll kind of pastry with a, like a scroll with cinnamon and sugar and then thick white icing on the top.
I like it already.
It is divine. And when I heard that, I was like, oh, great. And I rocked up and it was just like a club run. So like a Strider's 10K run. Yep. But so this club runs three times a week. They're called the Regent's Harriers.
Yep.
They're one of the oldest running clubs in South Africa. And just their regular Sunday run, 100 people there.
Really?
Oh, just their regular run. And it was, you know, it was a 10K run and it was great. But it was just hilly.
Yeah.
You know.
Was that like a week before Comrades?
Yeah, that was the week before.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was really cool. But yeah, just the hills. And I remember getting on the road thinking,
I have 90 kilometers.
I've got like, this is just the local hills. This isn't, you know, going up to do the run.
So, Loz, can you tell me about the 6 months leading in? And then I want to hear about the couple of months afterwards. So you trained like an animal. You were pretty fit, right?
Yeah.
You were ocean swimming. You were doing strength work at the gym. You were running like a beast. How did you do it all? How did you do it? And you were like, you have a job. Like, you have a life. Okay. Like, how did you do it? Tell me about it.
I don't know. I think something clicked. Like, I was very sick last year. And I had really bad gut issues. But, I mean, I was still training. I still had surgery in the November beforehand.
Yeah.
Just touch on that, Loz, if you don't mind, because I think, again, you're probably downplaying that. Like, you're pretty crook. You know, you weren't well at all.
No.
So I think it's even a bigger feat than probably you giving it credit. You know, you were pretty ill.
I was. So I was in Papua New Guinea at the beginning of last year. Oh, gosh. Yeah. So I was in Papua New Guinea. I did some research into children with what the prevalence of disabilities were in the country and going into remote areas. Anyway, I picked up some parasites, four of the six parasites you can get.
Four of the six,
and I didn't realize.
Is that
a PV? I think so.
Parasite PV.
Look, you don't want, that's one you don't really want. Anyway, and so I didn't realize I had them. I had tests. Anyway, I got to a point where I was very ill and I was like, what's going on? It was affecting my mental state. But at that point, I had already decided to run Comrades because it's like, I'm feeling really bad about, you know, it got into my brain. It's like, I just need something positive to work on. I was like, perfect, Comrades definitely is on the list. Yeah. I'm going to do that.
Cool.
And so, I mean, blessing in disguise, maybe. And so, yeah, I was hardcore training, not eating very much because I just didn't feel like eating. I had surgery to remove those. Not pleasant. It's like a mass of antibiotics
that
they shoot through your system.
Great.
But, you know, totally fine. so training, I was doing lots of different training, different groups, just to mix up, just for the pure reason of just tapping in, meeting different people, because I think, I mean, I'm an undiagnosed ADHD person because I just didn't like it. Snap it all out. So I was training, I think I was running about 3 to 4 times a week.
Yep.
And then I was swimming because I get a lot of enjoyment out of ocean swimming.
Yeah, we're talking like 3, 4, 5 kilometers in the ocean at a time.
Swimming from... I bliss out in that. But to get better at ocean swimming, you need to do pool swimming. Mm. And it's a nice crew that I train with.
That's brilliant cross-training, right?
It is, and it's good for you. And I always think if there's something that's good for your soul, you know, you've got to feed that.
Oh, yeah.
And I was playing tennis as well.
Okay.
And playing golf. So I was pretty full-on. And then I was at that stage, I was doing about 3 different jobs. So I think it's just – but then it's just me.
Yeah.
And I think there's good and there's bad things. I think I could do my training and I could be selfish. So if I – you know, I'd get up at you know, and during the week I'd get up at like 4:45, go and do whatever training I needed to, go to work. And I was fine at work because the work I was doing is work I've done for a number of years. So I could just sit there. I knew I could do what I needed to do.
Yeah.
I could do it well, and that was fine.
Yeah.
And then in the evenings, you know, train, you know, if on a Saturday morning, you know, I'd get up at 3:00 in the morning.
Oh my God.
Go and run, do the 4:40 as part of my training run, and then keep on going kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I could do that. And I think that was, I think that was good to be able to do that. You know, and if, because of training, you know, if my domestic chores were not necessarily up to scratch, which is worrying because I was that busy that it wasn't.
That's
like
a good idea. I can use training as an excuse for my domestic chores.
it is the best excuse. But there again, too, it was, and it wasn't, it was because as well, I wasn't feeling bad about inviting friends over because I didn't really have time for that, which I think my friends, some of my friends, got a little bit annoyed because they're like, Lauren, you know, when are you going to stop?
But if they really understand what it means here, they get it right.
And they did. And, you know, most of them did. And, you know, they'd be like, and I'd message them and go, what are you doing like Wednesday night? Or they knew Monday night was date night.
Yeah.
So Monday night, you know, was there for, and, you know, to catch up doing
it. Yeah.
And that was really good.
Yeah.
But at the same token, doing it by yourself is hard.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, I've got to, you know, got to get all my running gear cleaned. Like, yeah. I just need to eat and I need to cook. So you have to be so highly organized.
I found that Pizza Hut, no, Domino's. Domino's $5 pizza special. Oh, my God, that saved me.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't have time to cook, like, when I'm doing my training.
But, and I think that, and it's so hard, but at the same, and it, and you feel guilty because of the quality of the food.
Yeah.
But in the end, you're like, quality over, like, time.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Quality over time.
Guilty.
Always, time always trumps everything, I think. Because you are, you're so short of time.
Yeah.
But, and I think as a human being, I think I got through that quite fine. I didn't have, I don't think I really had any relationship breakdowns or family breakdowns or anything. I, actually, I think I was thriving because I was, and getting so much done because I was so, had to be so coordinated.
Yeah.
Everything had to just fit in. And you do, you prioritize the things that are important to you.
And the people that
are important to you.
One thing that impresses me is I'm, obviously you pushed your body quite a bit for quite a few months training for this thing, and that's, that's in a sense what I'm doing for UTMB, and but I've got two really good mates who live in Sydney who are doing the race with me. So like every single weekend, I've got one if not two buddies who are like, yeah, I'll go run 60k with you, and it's like a social thing, and we run and we chat the whole time. And I've got someone to keep me in check. I'm keeping them in check. How you did this solo? I'm like, phew, I don't know how you did that, because I've got someone to crack the whip on me, and I'm cracking the whip on them. And when it gets to 45k's in these runs, and like, I get tired, my mates pull me along.
Yeah.
And like vice versa. How you do that yourself, I don't know.
I don't know. I think I just did it because there was no other choice.
Yeah.
I think when you cut out options, you just do it. And I think
it's your circumstance, get it done.
And that's it. And it's to go, you know, we have choices in our lives and we control the things we can control and we let go of the things that we need to. And I think, you know, there's so many life lessons in doing that.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah.
So, you know, and but then post-training.
Yes.
So leading up to the race, the week before, I was like, okay, this is great, catch up with, you know, family, friends. That was good, but I was waking up at 3:00 in the morning and having to work for a good, like, 4 hours to keep one of my jobs going here in Sydney.
Yeah.
Because I went and leave, but no one else registered that I was on leave. Everyone else went on leave, and I'm just the kind of person that I'm like, that's okay, I'll just fix
it. I'll keep working.
Like, bad idea, but it's just, it is what it is. And I caught up with some good old family friends, and so it was busy when I was there. So after the race, oh my gosh, phenomenal. You know, we had a lunch the next day with international runners. Camille was there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think at Anne Summits, who'd won the year before, and she was defending her title, and she came sixth. And I was chatting to her, and she'd been violently ill too. So I did not feel so bad on the being sick sort of point of view. And, yeah, so that was great. And Bruce Fordyce, who was winning the races when I was growing up, and my dad was running, it's like, oh, my gosh, you know, you're meeting your childhood hero.
Your hero, yeah.
And chatting with Camille about our potatoes, which was great. So, you know, there were lots of good things, but it was just flat out busy. And, you know, the friends that I was catching up with there are runners, they're ultra marathon runners and trail runners. So, you know, really nice, normal guys, you know, just like.
Yeah, normal people.
Normal people.
Yeah, sure.
Like, really lovely. And so it was nice, you know, to be able to jog and, you know, chat with them. And, but then, yeah, I sort of.
So what happened? So how long?
Something happened.
How long were you overseas for before you came home?
A week.
A week.
So it was a week either end. And I was just fed up. And, you know, South Africa's a great country, so much positive. I mean, but there were things that sort of happened or didn't quite happen but could have happened that were quite dangerous. So it was a bit hectic. So I guess I came back and then I strapped back into it and I'd signed up for this Gold Coast Half Marathon this weekend's 10K race. Yep. And in my head I was like, great, done all this long distance training and now we're on for speed work. And in my head I was really like track and speed work. And I was so focused on this. But my body just could not wake up. Mm. And I just went through, you know, they say, you know, post race blues, Olympic depression, whatever it is, and I don't know. But then I was also burnt out because I haven't had a holiday in almost a year, I guess. And I just, you know, even chatting with Danielle this evening, it was that love of running. Wanting to run because I love it, but I'm like, in that training period, you're running because you've got to get the kilometres.
Mm. Yeah.
And constantly I was thinking, because I've got no one else to compare it with, and I was, you know, comparing programs, and there was a friend that was doing the race. He was in South Africa, and I was here, and I was comparing his. Our times were fairly similar.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'd be going, okay, you know, Strava's great for stalking like that. Strava's great for that.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, am I doing enough? And so I suddenly was like, I don't need to train because I have to train.
Yeah.
But then I just was like, I just don't feel like getting up. Yeah. So, you know.
And, well, I guess you don't have that carrot dangling in front of you. You had that to drive you for months and then that's not there anymore.
That's not there. But I've still got these races.
But I still have a half marathon to do in a few weeks.
And, you know, and I did that. And I have never seen such a beautiful negative split graph in my entire life. Like, and that was, like, and I knew I could do 21. Mm. And this 10K race this weekend, I know I can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about the time. And that's it. It's reevaluating your goals.
Yeah.
And I think I'm just getting back into it. And it is, I think, you know, with training for ultra marathons, you develop such an acute awareness for your body, for your mind, for what you can and can't do. And I think it's just, it's fine tuning that. But there is not a lot of research out there. Mm. There's not a lot of social media, I guess, to say what do you do after you've done a big race?
Yeah.
Do you think also that it's like, you know, I mean, as an outsider looking in, that you were kind of doing that race as well because of such the family kind of tradition and the, you know, the national kind of, or that cultural kind of thing. It's a big deal. It's kind of bigger than, you know, you're probably not going out there really. Yes, you had a time in mind, but it was kind of, I suppose, more than that, wasn't it? You know, like it was a real kind of you know, profound thing in your life that you wanted to tick off.
Mm.
And then you tick that off and it's like, what's next?
Yeah. And that's what's next.
But you had the answer to that. Mm. You knew what was next. Okay, I've got this half marathon in 6 weeks and then 5 weeks after that I have this 10K race.
Yeah.
You had the what's next, but you didn't have that
fulfillment, that
historical,
suppose.
Personal, cultural drive to go and do it, which you'd been feeding off to do these 60K runs. And then that disappears because you've done comrades. Cool, I've got this half marathon, which normally you have no trouble training for, half marathon. And now you're like, well, why can't I do the run?
What is the meaning of life?
Yeah.
Why am I doing this? Yeah. So that's something that you battled, right? So what did you do? Did you say, I don't really care? Or did you actually get up and train? Like, what did you do? How did you manage it?
So I think I think I came back in and I took one day off recovery and I was straight back into my work of 6 days, you know, fitting 6 days worth of work into like 4.5, 5 days.
So that's interesting, right? Because we're not talking physical training stuff. We're talking life.
Yeah, we're talking
like
stress.
You did the race. You did the race. You took a day off. You had a day to chill.
Yeah.
And then, cool, you went back to work on Monday.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it's I realized that probably wasn't wise, but I think for a number of circumstances that just had to happen.
You had to do it, yeah.
I had to do it. And you know what? I think, I think I'm totally fine out of that now in terms I know, you know, so much more. I think it is. It's that new challenge. But, you know, I sort of think, and I do, I have this thing in me that goes, you know, that comrades, it was about comrades. It was the camaraderie. It was the most fantastic experience. I still have these images of these people and these that I saw on the race and the friends that I saw, you know, and the experience before and after, but it finished and then that was that. But, and not getting that time, I think that eats away because I'm like, oh, I could have done it. And I go, well, you know.
So are you going back then? Is this a.
Well, the whole thing is like, I mean, like, good, but I think I would totally do slightly different strategy.
Yeah.
And I think I would train slightly differently, but you know, I think there's always that. Why do something again if you really, you know? I mean, I did it for so many different reasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there was a chap I had lunch with after the race, and it was fascinating listening to him. And I always, when I meet Australians who have run the race or are wanting to run the race, I always go, well, why are you doing it? Yeah. Because it is a road race. It's hard.
It's not fun.
It's on the bitumen. It's pounding, you know, pounding pavement. And he lives in Melbourne. Great guy. He has done it 5 times and never finished it. Mm. 5 times in a row, never finished it. And he doesn't have... Besides knowing about the race, he doesn't have any...
Strong connection.
Any connection. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, you know, you're right. And I guess that's the nature of the beast. That's something that you want to tame.
Mm.
And I don't know if I really want to tame it. The only reason being that, you know, I have a copper medal and my dad's beautiful silver and bronze medals.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What was that moment like when you, I suppose, saw your dad after the race?
Yeah.
Was that emotional or what did he kind of...
I don't know.
How did that go?
It was a bit weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think because also at the end of the year, that at the end of the race, they were sort of pushing us through cattle sort of guards.
Yeah. You're vomiting.
Yeah.
And there was a lady there. She was sitting on the floor and I said to her, I'm so sorry, I'm going to be sick. Do you mind please moving? And I could see on the floor. And I felt sorry. I said, she's like, oh, okay. She didn't really want to, and there was no point, you know, when you're just going to go.
Yeah.
And then I went a little bit, restrained Lauren. Yeah. And it's a little bit caught her, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. So I had all that going on, and then I
So imagine finishing a 90K race, sitting on the ground, like, I've just finished, and someone comes up to you and says, excuse me, I'm going to be sick on you. Can you move? What do you do? Like,
and the whole thing is because there are people pushing
like,
all around.
If that was me, I'd look at you and be like, don't you fucking vomit on me. I'm not moving.
And that's what she did, and I felt absolutely awful.
And you threw up on her.
Well, no.
So how good's running, though? It's pretty glamorous.
And that was the funniest thing. My sister called me. She was out for a trail, and she lives in Colorado in the mountains. And she's like, you're finished? And she's like, you didn't look like you were sick. You looked like you were having a great time. And I absolutely was. I was having a good, all the photographs. You know when you have running photographs?
Yeah.
You know, professional, and you're like, not one of these am I going to buy a little screenshot or print.
Delete it.
Not one. They were all like smiling.
It looks great. I saw the video of you coming down the finishing chute, like waving your arms, like smiling and having a great time. I had no idea you were sick.
Yeah.
I know, and that's something, but I was like literally.
So you know. Loz, if you were to see someone else, you know, in embarking on the journey you were embarking on, like say you've done a few half marathons, you've done like full marathons, right?
Yeah, enough.
So, okay, cool. So you're going to tackle this 90K road run. What's your top tip?
I think it's
for top. So sorry, I'm going to interrupt. Two top tips. Number one, top tip for training. Number two, top tip for after the run.
Top tip: heels.
Do heels.
Totally do heels with zero expectation. I didn't have an expectation, but I think, yeah.
Do more heels.
Do more heels.
Cool.
And I think at the end.
And this is what I'm going to listen to after the race because I'm preparing for this too.
I think you need to have a training plan in place afterwards, and that yes, it's not going to be in the intensity. But you need to have those things that are in your program that you have to commit to. Not because your body is saying, I'm tired, but whether if it's a walk, but you need to have something every day that's going to fill up your life.
Yeah.
Because you have given up. I mean, you're going, yesterday, what did you do? 28Ks?
Yeah, I did.
You ran from one office to the other.
Instead of the 40-minute drive, I was like, three-hour run.
And so next post UTMB, you're going to have that 40 minutes in your car.
Yeah.
You know, which means you're going to have time to think, time to look at the traffic.
Yeah.
You're not going to be that thinking that you're on the road. And I think you need to fill up your time doing things you love doing with the people you enjoy hanging out with. Because you suddenly you wake up on a Saturday morning at 7 o'clock and not 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock or, you know, any other time.
Like, I don't have to do a 7-hour run.
I don't have to do 7-hour. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
And, yes, you have got something you might be training for next, whether it's, the Black Moors or something like that. But that's not going to be the intensity.
Yeah.
And suddenly you've got this time and your mind's going to go racing. And, I mean, I was very lucky. I woke up the next day and all I had was like slightly stiff and a little blood blister on my baby toe, and the next day I was like poking around, jumping up and down kind of thing.
So physically
I was totally fine.
It's really interesting because you'd done this race, but you'd also already locked yourself into a half marathon a few weeks later and then a 10K a few weeks later. So you'd already locked these things in, saying, cool, I'm going to be fit, I'm going to capitalize on that, do some speed work and keep going. Whereas I'm the opposite. I've said to myself, I'm probably not going to run a single step for about a month afterwards.
Yeah.
And I'm after this event, I'm going to Portugal to sit on a beach and drink wine and eat pizza for a solid week. I'm like literally not going to move.
And I think that's the best thing, because I had these things in and I was like, I had in my head, I'm going to go do speed work. I'm going to like this half marathon. Yeah. I'm totally going to do it in an hour and a half. And I did none of what I thought I'd want to do.
Different motivation.
And it's different motivation. And I think it's just, and I think too, it is. I mean, it's life. It's trial and error sometimes.
And that's so interesting. Like so much, like 6 months, give or take, of your life leads up to this day.
Yep.
You do the day and then like, oh shit, like what happens next? Like everything's different.
Mm.
So it's so useful. And everyone will approach it and interact with this experience differently. But you've got to think, what am I going to do? Like my life is going to change from what it's been. It's super interesting to think about that, right? Because no one talks about the come down.
No, well, they do, and they always go, you know, be wary of the come down. You know, be wary of, you know, the post-race blues, that sort of thing. And, I mean, you can be aware of it, but at the same time.
But what does be wary? What does that mean? Be wary.
We know that, and that's the whole thing. I'm like, so what? Yes, I'm going to have a day where I'm feeling a bit flat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I get that. But it's, and I think, you know, it's, and it is, it's having great support networks and all that kind of thing. And
I think also to like reflecting on the process, though, right? Reflecting on, okay, what did you actually achieve? Like not finishing that and moving on to the next thing, but maybe taking some time to, and you can still train through that, but reflecting on, shit, like that was a great achievement. And I did exactly what I wanted to do, and I did it for these reasons. And from where I've come from, and again, like it comes back to your modesty. Like, I think that's something that you don't often give yourself credit for, is like, you did really, really well with your training. You were so committed and, you know, really resilient through your training, and coming from where you were being sick, like, you know, previous to that, I think that reflection and kind of, looking back at what you got through is probably something that gives you that appreciation for what you actually did, and then allows you to move on to the next thing as well.
I agree with you. And I think it's that idea of having, you know, gratitude for your body and what it can go through, and, you know, what you can accomplish.
Oh, big time, big time.
But there again, too, I mean, I could talk and talk for hours, but I think, you know, as a woman as well as a female, your body goes through, I mean, and for guys too, but physically and hormonally, your body goes through all these changes.
Goes through the ringer.
And so as soon as your body gets flipped around, it's then readjusting. You're going, oh my gosh, this is how I feel. Why am I feeling like this? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm a girl.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
And it is. And I think maybe there might be, and I think if anything, especially, you know, my thoughts on, you know, training, you know, that, and looking at the race, and that in terms of the numbers and the figures, I think only a quarter of the race are women that run this race.
Mm. Only a quarter.
Only about a quarter. And so I think it would be interesting to do research on, you know, your body and how a woman's body is different and how, you know, I just think from personal experience. Mm. But, you know, that's a whole nother, that's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah. we'll talk about that study next week.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, and I think, you're going to be amazing there, but I think it is, and, you know, you've got the support of your team, and it is, I was listening to the podcast a few weeks ago, I was doing some track training. And I was listening to you talking about the logistics about going to UTMB and getting, you know, what happens if, you know, the bus doesn't get my team to where they said they were going to be and all that kind of, and it does, it messes with you, and it's like you just have to be prepared and be prepared to do it on your own.
Yeah, got to be resilient, got to be robust.
And I mean, it's amazing what the human mind and the body can do.
It's kind of like why we do this, right?
It is.
Like, I think when it comes down to it, I always think, I like running. Like, I like to run. And for me, what's running? Running is like, I'll put your shoes on and go for a 10K jog. Like, that's like running to me. Mm-hmm. Whereas doing what you did, like this 90K in South Africa, that's not running. If you just enjoyed running, you'd just stick with your 10, 15K on the weekend and you'd enjoy that. But this is like something different, something else. It's like a big, like, achievement. I guess.
And there were zebras on the side of the road, and I totally missed them because they were so in the zone, and there were so many people.
Actual zebras. So I've always said, you know, over the last probably 10 years, I want to do the Comrades Marathon by the time I'm 30. And I, like, as a 21-year-old, I'd say that because, like, oh yeah, you know, I'll have a job, I'll be fine, I'll be rich, I'll be able to travel overseas, that's fine. So now I'm thinking, like, yeah, in the next 3 to 4 years, I'll do Comrades. It's always been on my bucket list.
Do it.
I've got to do Comrades. Yeah. And if there's zebras, like, shit, that's good. That's great.
It is. And I think do it just for the pure reason, you know, that it is remarkable and the scenery is beautiful. You know, the support is phenomenal.
Yeah, and it's the biggest, like, mass participation ultra marathon in the world. It's probably the longest running one as well.
Yeah.
The history behind it's incredible.
I
want to do it.
Totally do it. And I think when you do it, I'll do it, because then at least I have someone to train with.
I'm thinking 2021.
Yeah.
You'll do it?
Yeah, because that's an uprun.
Well, I think this is, I'm just learning this about Loz now, is, like, just before we hit record on this, I said, oh, I'm going to go do that hill session tomorrow morning. And Loz said, sweet, I'm going to do it with you. So I'm said, I'll do Comrades in a couple of years. And Loz has just gone, cool, I'll do it with you.
Why not? The more the merrier. It makes it fun.
It does. Yeah.
We can get team shirts.
Oh, team shirts. And you're not going to do that 60K run solo.
No.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Loz.
I mean, there's lots we can keep on going, but yeah, no.
This is officially our second longest podcast ever. So thank you.
Yeah.
It's good.
No, it's been good. I think a lot of the stories I probably said before, but it's good to put it in a different context. And, you know, with someone else like yourself who's training so hard, you know, you tell someone, you know, in this, someone who's training for a 21, their first 21 or their first marathon, you try and explain it. It's different. It's that next level. Even the 50K, you know, is the Canberra 50K.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's different. It's next. I think anything over 60, 70Ks, you're going into different territory.
It is. Like, you can, training for a marathon is freaking hard. Like, it's, if anyone heard that noise, that was Alex dropping a bottle cap of his beer. training for a marathon's hard. Like, you have to give up 3 hours of your weekend morning, which means the night before you have to be pretty prepared. Like, it's tricky, but it's a 3 hour run. And then, you know, you have breakfast and whatever, you're fine. But, like, I think training for a marathon, you run, you have brekkie, and then you have your day. Whereas training for this shit, it's like, this run is going to take me 6 hours. Then afterwards I'm dead and that's my day.
Yeah, and
it takes over your day, your life, your week. Yeah.
And you just go.
It's pretty fucked up.
And you love it, and it's the best.
But why do we do it? I don't know.
And you will have, those moments in your race where you go, I am, like, almost like invincible.
Yeah.
You just,
it's a good feeling.
You just feel amazing. And then you have those trucks being like, oh my gosh, why am I doing this? Just take me home.
And it's like, if you do a 10K or even a half marathon, if you feel good, you feel good the whole way. If you feel bad, you'll probably feel bad the whole way. Like, you're not going to feel, you know, if you get to that 13 or 14K mark in a half marathon, you feel bad. Like, that's it. You're probably done. Whereas in 100 miles or 100 kilometers or 90 kilometers, if you feel bad, you'll feel good, and then you feel bad, and then you feel good, and then you feel bad. And, like, it's just next level.
It's just a roller coaster.
It's pretty fucked up.
Yeah. But it's well worth it.
It is good.
Yeah.
It's good. Well, thank you, Loz.
No, that's thank huge. You.
Thanks, Loz. Great story.
That was,
you know, again, super, super proud of you. I think you don't give yourself enough credit, but super proud of your effort, achievement.
Oh, no, thank you. And without you guys.
You know, totally stoked. As I said, like, you started as a patient. I think you, like, really, you know, to consider you as a friend. So,
no, and
likewise.
Thank you. Super, super proud. And I mean, the podcast got me through some very
rough times.
So someone is going to be going through a rough time right now, listening to this right now.
That's
just do it, friends. Just do it.
Loz reckons, just keep going.
And create a playlist and get everyone to shoot their top five motivational tracks. There'll be some that'll be, oh my gosh.
That was cool. So you messaged like a whole bunch of people and said, give me 3 to 5 songs, put on a playlist,
pump up songs.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, there was some variation. There were country music songs.
I might actually steal that playlist for UTMB.
Just make sure, train with it first, because there will be some, again, you don't know what you're going to expect. It's great, though.
I might keep it on my iPod just in case.
You should put it out to the podcast and say, hey, everyone give me your best three pump-ups.
Look, if anyone is still
listening. That would be a list. Imagine the listeners worldwide. We could have
worldwide listeners.
Oh,
okay.
Well, that would be amazing.
Okay. All right.
Playlist on Spotify.
I could go wild.
So if anyone is still listening 62 minutes in, I'll put out an invite. What do you do? You make a public playlist,
publicly,
right?
I'll get
you guys that. Lauren's gonna set it up.
This is great.
Sweet. All right. On that note, thank you, Loz, for coming. Thank you, Danielle, who was here, but she had to bail.
Mm-hmm.
You'll hear from Danielle again soon, you know, next week, the week after. Thank you for coming. Thanks, Alex, for lending your dulcet tones. It's great to have you.
No worries.
Thank you, Alex.
Fuck yeah. See you next week.
Thanks, Loz.
See you. Thanks, guys.